Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to be here in Imperial Church of Christ. Unfortunately, Brian is sick and we just pray that he have a speedy recovery. Nevertheless, it should not stop us from worshiping God in spirit and truth.
Amen.
John chapter 4, verse 24. Before I start, I want to warn you guys, I speak loud, so it's not I'm yelling, I just speak loud, okay?
Amen.
I heard a preacher say that out loud, you yell a lot. I'd like to take this moment to acknowledge the visitors. Speak on behalf of the congregation, we are delighted and we are encouraged by your presence. We just pray that we can reciprocate the same encouragement. Today's objective is vital that we recognize that God is holy. And everything that comes from God is holy. The scripture reading was Isaiah 55, 6 and 9. It says 55 verses 6 through 9. And it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and thoughts than your thoughts. Here we have it. We're going to examine the scripture. Because so many folks have found it difficult to decipher what God is conveying right there. God lays out the principles to be holy. It ought to come to us to have the mindset to recognize that we are what we're hearing and reading, it comes from God. These scriptures are not wrong at all. So when I read the scriptures, it informs us that nobody, no one has new spiritual ideas going to take the place of God's word. Not the Pope, not myself, not any other Church of Christ preacher can take the word, can take God's place in his spiritual world, church. See, Jesus says in Mark 7, 7, he said, how being in vain do they worship me, teaching from the doctrines of commandments of man. He also says in Matthew 15 and 14, he said, the blind will lead the blind, they will fall in the ditch. And we are following any spiritual ideas other than God, we're going to be totally blind. So when I read the scriptures and I hear the scripture, it ought to reveal to us that God makes no mistakes. God never made an error. He never made a slip up or oversight. He has no fault, church. So we can wrap our minds to this concept and understand God's way is perfect. The Bible says in Psalm 18 and 22, 18 and 30, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. Moses says in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, he said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of a man that he should repent. See, God provides us humility, stability, spiritual responsibility, dependability, and no liability in any conditions or situation. So when I read and hear those scriptures, it reminds me that, it should remind us that God has spiritual authority. Father God gave his spiritual authority to his son, Jesus Christ, while on this earth, Colossians chapter 1 and 16. God told his disciples, told those guys in Matthew chapter 17, 5, hear Jesus Christ. We ought to listen to Jesus. We ought to listen to our Father God when it comes to the word of God. When I listen and read these scriptures, it reminds me that God's word is not garbage. See, some of us have chose to reject God's word, have treated it like food waste, filthy rags, junk, trash, you name it. The Bible reminds us in 1 John 1:8, let me get it. Some of us say, not me. Oh, I don't treat God's word like that. The Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Meaning some part in our lives, we have rejected God's word. See, when I read the scripture, it ought to tell us. It ought to tell us who providing that evil thought. It's certainly not God, because God do not entice us. He do not provoke us into committing sin. See, the prophet Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. He say, "O Lord, I know that thy way of man is not in himself. It is not man that walks and directs his steps." Church, we got to recognize that man, God, will never lead to salvation. His only way he's going to lead to salvation is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Father, our Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can get there. Finally, man's thoughts will lead us to a place that we don't want to go. Amen? So when I look at the scripture and study the scripture, we found, let's recount what I just said, that man's ideas is not working in the church. We found that God does not make mistakes at all. We realize, and we're going to know that these scriptures are telling that who has authority, and that's Father God. God can let us know exactly where we need to go and how we need to go. His plan always works. And the scriptures tell us that God's word is not God. See, the scriptures tell us, church, that men will always have evil thoughts if they don't abide in the word of God. So what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, that word is image. When God spoke us into existence in Genesis chapter 1 and 26, he said, "Let us make man his own image." Church, God made our souls into the image of Christ. The image. Meaning our souls would never die. Either going to go to hell or heaven. God's word is designed to develop that image of God fully. This is why God tells us in Matthew chapter 5 through 11, he says, display those beatitudes in life. That's why he tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, be the salt of the earth. That's why he tells us in Matthew 5 and 16, let our light so shine. That's why he tells us Galatians chapter 6, 5 and 22, display the fruits of the Spirit. That's why he tells us in Matthew chapter, and Thessalonians 5 and 7, pray without ceasing. He tells us those things to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Tell us to be holy in everything, do every conversation. 1 Peter 1 and 15, church. Study thy word to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. That all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Do not add or subtract to his word. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. These are the things that he's trying to tell us, that we could develop our image of him fully. Because he wants us to go to heaven. This earth is not our life. This earth is not where we belong. We belong in heaven if we call ourselves a Christian. Title of the lesson: there's nothing but the truth. See, that what we know that we are the image of God, it behooves us to what? Have the opportunity, take advantage of this opportunity to get a better relationship with God. As a preacher, as a leader, or anybody who's communicating with God and standing in this pulpit, we must realize that God has some expectation of us. And we, and you in congregation have some expectations. I say the E factor here. You see, God expects us to expose sin. He expects us to explain the scriptures. He expects us to elevate God and not ourselves. He expects us to be earnest, be serious about God and everything we do. He expects us to have empathy, meaning we ought to have some compassion for people. He's telling us to show the example. Show Christ's example. Because that's the one that's going to save us. He's telling us, be evangelists. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. See, God does not approve this, though. He don't approve us allowing our ego to stand in the way of his word. The evilness that sometimes that we may do, that enticing. He don't want us standing in the gateway enticing sin. He don't want us to make any excuses when it comes to the word. He don't want us siding with the enemy. He don't want us to put Christians, ourselves, in danger of losing our soul. He don't want us to eliminate his word. We can eliminate our word, but not his word, all right, church? Amen. He don't expect us. See, I've seen so many gospel meetings here where someone that's lost in a different denomination and a preacher embarrassed someone. That's not our job. The word of God is here to prick our hearts. We take the place of God's word. That's not what God intended. Our job is to preach nothing but the truth. That's what God commands us to do. So we got to understand that. Just speak what God speaks. Be silent when God is silent. So I put scriptures just for you guys to see, because I back everything I say with scripture. See, the body of this lesson, we're going to see the Israelites have expectations of God, and they have expectations of Moses. The lesson is coming from Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through 12, in which many of us read and studied this lesson concerning Moses' trial. But there's some questions that we need to address. Did the people cause Moses to sin against God? Did the people cause Moses to sin against God? Was Moses emotionally upset with the people? Did Moses interpret that striking the rock, it would be okay with God? See, I want you to know before we get started that Moses had an awesome resume. Moses was a leader. He was consistently communicating with God daily. He informed the people what God wanted them to do. So he did all that. He led the people out of Egypt. 10,000 people out of Egypt. Dealing with pharaohs and all the problems that he had to face. He followed and taught 613 laws. 245 thou should, 368 thou should not. He built the tabernacle. So he had an awesome resume. So I want to put that out there. Let's find out. Moses did exactly what God wanted him to do to this point. So let's read. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through 8, God gave him a command. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thy rod, gather thy assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye into the rock before their eyes, and shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. We found that God gave Moses some commandments. And his, so the, now we're gonna look at what commandments did Moses accomplish. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock?" Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So when we look at this, these are the commandments of Moses. This is the thing he had. He received the message from God. Do we agree?
Yep.
He took the rod. Did we agree?
Yep.
Aaron and Moses were together.
Yep.
He assembled the congregation.
Yep.
He was in the right location. Mm-hmm. He struck the rod and did not speak to the rod. Mm-hmm. Moses accomplished 5 out of 6 commandments. For my soul, that's 83%. This King Church, that's a passing grade for us, huh? We'll accept that as a Christian. But see, here's the process. It's not what we accept, it's exactly what God will accept. That's the motivation we gotta understand. That's the insight we got to have, church. You see, the other thing about this though, Moses knew the situation here. See, because Moses taught the same issue. Moses taught this to the Israelites and himself. He said this, "Therefore we should observe all the statutes and all the judgments and do them, and I am the Lord." He knew that, because he taught that. He taught, but somehow he forgot. Why? That's what we're going to find out today. See, we understand Moses is under the law right now. And under this law, there's no grace and mercy at all. None at all. But here's the question. We ought to thank Jesus, huh? Because Jesus gave us that grace and mercy to keep, to when we fall short, we can repent and get back right. That's the wrong dispensation. So that's why we ought to thank Jesus every day of our life, because we all fall short of the glory of God. Let's go back to why Moses struck the rock. When you look at Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, you see that Moses seen and witnessed the Israelites dying. He seen and seen the water and the people, the Israelites, had no water for their beasts or themselves. He felt he heard and felt the complaining that they was causing him, the problem they were causing. They were almost want to stone him to death. How much time we got? For 8 minutes.
Plenty of time.
No, don't do that.
I want you guys to put yourself in Moses' shoes. For 8 minutes, how would you feel as a leader trying to do the best you can? Follow God's commandments, and the people are against you. People you know and recognize don't know God like you do. Because that's sometimes we are in that situation. I'm at the situation at work sometimes. People see, they only see poor problems. This could be a heavy load on any person, opposed just the leader itself. This is why Jesus tells us and reminds us in Mark chapter 14, verse 38, when he says, "Watch ye and pray, lest you enter temptation. See, church, we need God help along the way in this process. This is not a one-shot thing. We got to, every day for 24/7, to walk circumspectly, we need God help every second of the way. And one of the ways we can get there by just praying to God. See, the Bible also reminds us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 that we should not overcome with evil with evil. We got to continue to fight this good fight of faith, church. The question of the day is, when to strike the rock? Did Moses use his viewpoint, his views to judge the people? When I talk about viewpoint, I'm talking about perspective, his judgment, his opinion, his frame of mind. Did he use that opposed to following God's command? But here's the fact I want you to understand. For 40 years prior to this, Moses seen this happen again. 40 years prior, he seen people complaining and wanting to stone him. And 40 and 80 years now, he's been training these people for 80 years. 40 years later, God told him in Ecclesiastes, in Exodus chapter 15 and 7, to strike the rock. Moses remembered the Israel presenting themselves as stiff-necked to God, and he went there to talk to God and tried to beg God not to time after time, Moses dealt with this. But he went to God. He went to God for, and defended the people of Israel. So Moses could have felt a certain way. I know I would. Certain way about the people. That question I asked, how would you feel? We forget sometimes the statutes of God. But see, won't you know that the Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, he tells us, be ye angry and sin not, lest the sun go down up on the wrath. Meaning, church, don't allow our frustration, our irritation and anger get the best of us that we don't fulfill what God wants us to do. Let's see how Moses responded. We look at Moses' views. It says in Numbers 20 and 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, "How hear now, ye rebels, when we fetch the water out of the rock." See, when I read this scripture, I see that Moses was emphatic in the way he delivered the message to the people. He used some power to make the people believe what? That they were what? Rebels. See, Moses used his emotions to get the, he let his loud emotions to get what? To get the best of him. You say, Brother Rose, how do you know Moses used a loud emotions? We're gonna get a little deeper here because he called the people out of his name. He called the people rebels. He called the people rebels. Now, you probably say rebels mean not such a big deal here. But when you look at it, church, in the Hebrew language, rebel means what? Disobey, bitterness, and disobeying and refuse to do what God submit. Now, I don't know how that meant, rebel meant, down in Israel. I don't know how deep that was, but I know if I call you out of your name, it could be some sinful things. We gotta have a mindset that we got to continue to do exactly what God wants us to do at all times, church. See, Moses he shouldn't have called the rebel at all. Let's go to the next show. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. See, what Moses did, church, Moses could have been, entice someone to be sinful. He could entice someone to be, he could have endangered someone just by calling them rebels. Let's keep going. Numbers 21. Almost there. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and spoke the rod twice. And congregation drank and their beasts. Moses ignored the word of God. He treated God's word like waste, trash, rubbish. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, 19 and 20, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man walks not in his righteousness of God. See, the God's word reminds us to restrain our tongues. At that point in time, God, Moses could have restrained his mouth of people. He could have chosen another set of words, but he did not. Let's go to Numbers 12:12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, they should not bring them congregation into the land which I have given you. We're talking about Moses ignored the law that God has commanded us. Now, here we have it here. You say, why did Moses reject it? Moses allowed his ego, his emotion to get the best of him. He elevated himself and didn't elevate God. See, everything we do in his word, and when it comes to word of God, pop up. This service, this preaching is not about God, it's about the word of God. So when we deal with that in that aspect, we will always do and be obedient to God. And that's what God commanded us to do, to be obedient to God. So what I have here, if you don't know, let's recap real quick and we'll get out of here. Moses allowed his emotions to get the best of him. Number two, Moses allowed his viewpoint to get the best of him. By him having his viewpoint of judging the people, Moses ignored what God commanded him to do, because he had his own way of doing things. He wanted to express to God his way is better than God's way. At that moment, he ignored the laws of God. He did evil. Moses did 99% of what God commanded him to do his whole 8 years of dealing with God. And guess what? That once he came short one time, and he couldn't tear that group to the promised land. Now, I don't know about you and I, but Moses did a great job in leading the people. And he caused a mistake. So if you don't get anything out of the sermon today, just remember, we cannot add or subtract to God's word, and God's word is the one to finally say so. So when we think and we find ourselves in a situation, a terrible situation, we have to tell ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would God want? And that's our mindset. We don't want to do evil, because guess what? Those same people that were causing problems, that was complaining, they made it to the promised land. And Moses didn't. The person that did 99%. Just make us think. Make us be aware of certain things, our actions. And we can do that in a way that's how we please God. Always being obedient to God. Not allowing this life to get the best of us that we don't follow God completely. If you're here today, and you're not a Christian, These are the five facts, and these are the steps that you can become a Christian. You got to hear the word of God. You got to believe the word of God. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? You got to repent. The Bible tells you in Luke 13:3, I tell your neighbors, if you repent, you shall likewise perish. You got to confess the sweetest name in the Bible, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible tell us in Matthew 10:32, who therefore confess me in my name, I will confess him. For the remission of sin, we are baptized in the day. The Bible says in Galatians 3:27, many are put on Christ. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity of the day. And we sing a song that's selected.